The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Should do it.
Hi, everyone. It's being podcasted for the evening soon, for people who can't come. But we appreciate all of you coming here. My name is Christina. I'm the Dean's Fellow for Section 3.
And I'm Scott Johnson. I'm the Dean's Fellow for Section 5.
And we thought we would keep it really informal. We know you're bombarded with tons of information sessions with lots of different opportunities. So we're just going to go over what we do as Dean's Fellows, because when we applied, I think some of us didn't really know what we were getting into, but it's a really great job, and so we want everyone to have this opportunity, and then obviously open the floor up to as many questions as you would like.
I guess I'll get started. As a Section 5 Dean's Fellow, my responsibilities are a little bit different than the Dean's Fellows for the day sections. You guys, I'm sure, have gone to Commons last semester and this semester. And as the Section 5 Dean's Fellow, it's a little bit more difficult to put together Commons programming because evening students only take two classes in rhetoric at the same time. So, you know, getting the two professors to work together on team teaching often is not that bad, but to have a full-blown Commons event with, you know, three professors addressing, you know, connections between the three doctrinal classes that students are taking at the same time is a little bit more difficult. But basically, that's one of the big responsibilities that the Integrated Curriculum Dean's Fellows have, is putting together those Commons programs, talking with the professors, choosing a subject, doing any background research that the professors might think is necessary before the program goes forward, you know, putting together the refreshments, getting the room, and things like that. So putting together Commons is a big part of it. And then, you know, really my other only other responsibilities as the evening section Dean's Fellow are to hold my weekly office hours, usually at a time that's convenient for evening students. I don't know specifically if we're going to be actively seeking another evening section Dean's Fellow for next year, only because the position is a two-year commitment, so I'll still be doing the same thing next year for the evening section. So I think we might, you know, be actively seeking somebody from the evening section next year, but there's certainly nothing that would prevent, you know, a full-time student from being an evening section Dean's Fellow. So, you know, like I said, my things are basically, you know, working on the Commons type programming, doing office hours, and then just sort of other random student counseling as necessary by email or phone calls or individual meetings with students if they can't come to office hours and things like that. So if you want to talk about some of the other responsibilities, that I think that would be good.
Sure. The daytime obviously has the same responsibility as putting on the Commons. If you've had any event planning background, that's always helpful, or even if you're just very detail-oriented and like doing logistics, that's a big plus because you're going to be doing a lot of that. As you can tell, there's not that many rooms at the school, so finding rooms for events is always very difficult. Ordering the food, making sure it's always there on time, you know, feeding 101Ls is always a challenge, but it's also very fun. So you'll be, you know, coordinating meetings with professors, so it's a really great way to work one-on-one with a lot of different professors here and get to know them better, see what they're interested in, see what the students are interested in to form those Commons topics. We do a lot more programming during the day, but we try to not burden students by over-programming. And then, as Scott mentioned, there's also the mentoring aspect by holding office hours. This year, we've been taking students out to lunch or coffee, which we've been found to be really successful. As a way of just, you know, we go to a pretty large law school, and to get individual attention to students is what we try to fill that gap of going to a big law school. So any way that we can reach out to students is great. And then the third kind of programmatic aspect of the Dean's Fellow positions is holding the Dean's Fellows, panels, the ones about outlining, exam preparation. And then we're going to be doing one this semester on course selection. But those are the traditional ones that we've done, and then we're always welcome to doing new programming. So if anyone has any ideas, like earlier this year, someone from the Women in Law program approached me about doing how Women in Law is integrated with the first year curriculum. So we did a small event with about 20, 25 people about taking a women's issue and analyzing a case and integrating torts, contracts, and whatever like that. We might try to that kind of small programming next year. So if you're interested in having ideas, that would be a great thing to express either in your cover letter or in your interview about any ideas that you have.
And we also, I think this is the first time that we've done this, but we're helping Professor Popper plan and put together the program during the Founder Celebration on innovations in the first year curriculum. It's in, right?
Not yeah, yeah.
Innovations in the first year curriculum, which is going to be an all-day conference to which we've invited faculty members and instructors from law schools all over the country to come and talk about, you know, not only what we're doing here, but also what other schools are doing in their curricular integration type programs to give us new ideas. So I have a feeling that after that conference in March, you know, we may even have lots of additional new things that we might try to fold into our program.
Yeah, the program is very fluid in terms of what the Dean's Fellows want it to be. Professor Popper is a great advisor, but he lets us have a lot of discretion on how many panels we want to have, different activities we want to try out, whatever is best to meet the needs of the school. So we're always happy to hear new ideas.
And that's something, you know, for those of you who are particularly interested in this position, I would, you know, very, very strongly recommend, like we put in our docket announcement, to go to that conference, which is Friday, March 21st, and it will run just about all day. But if you can come to maybe a panel in one of the breakout sessions in the morning or a panel in one of the breakout sessions in the afternoon, that would be a really good way to sort of learn more about what we're doing and what we probably will be doing next year. So if you have the time, I would definitely suggest getting registered and then coming to that event.
And then finally, I think in terms of what the time commitment and obligations are of this job, technically Dean's Fellows positions are 15 hours a week. That's how much you'll be getting paid is $15 or 15 hours at the Dean's Fellow salary, which is about $12 or $14 an hour. And of that, your 2 hours of those are devoted to your office hours. So we've had them in the library this year. And then 1 hour per week is meeting with all the other Dean's Fellows and Professor Popper, and that's a scheduled time every week. So those are your 3 hours that are set for you. And then the other time hours that you accrue are by working individually with the faculty, with your section, whatever. So it's nice in terms of it's a very flexible job in terms of how you want to program your hours, because there's not many time commitments that we force you to do. It's whatever panel you can make, whatever panel fits with your schedule. You meet with students on your own time. So most of us are very involved in other things, such as journal or moot court, and so we don't really have a problem with that.
It works out. It works out really well. And for those of you who haven't, you know, spoken to us outside of our events or come to office hours or anything like that, the counseling is, you know, more general advice about how to maneuver your way through law school as a 1L. We don't really, you know, I'm not going to say that we don't accept, but we don't generally address substantive questions about classes. Because as students, you know, we want to make sure that we're not answering questions differently than a professor would want a student to learn something. So, you know, it's things like, you know, who do I talk to about a problem? Where do I get signed up for this? Where can I find more information about that? Just sort of random, you know, sort of law school operational type questions, which is actually really great, not only because we get to help people with their 1L experience, which for a lot of people can be very difficult, but it's also a great way to learn your own way around the school. I mean, there are, you know, problems that I certainly wouldn't have known how to address had people not raised them as questions during office hours or in emails or phone calls or things like that. So it's a really nice way to sort of get yourself closer to what's going on at school, really, you know, even for your own purposes later. So that's worked out well.
Hi.
I don't have any, you know, anything else specific, so I suppose at this point we can just be happy to take any questions that you guys might have.
How are you assigned to your sections?
Well, every year the sections change. The professors usually shift around. So at the beginning of the year, I believe that we filled out forms saying if we had any preferences of professors that we wanted to work with or that we didn't want to work with. And then the administrative Dean's Fellow, which is kind of like the head dean's fellow kind of assigns them and tries to match you with the professors you want. And since and you'll stay with the same section the entire year, so you know, you'll be set with the professors in the fall, and you'll have no idea who you'll have in the spring because the registrar puts together the sections for the spring much later in the year. So.
And I have a sense that the evening section dean's fellow always would be an evening student, only because, and it worked out well this year because, you know, when I'm at work during the day, sometimes it's hard for me to get to our daytime programming, and it would be even harder for me to schedule things, you know, obviously for any students during the day when I would otherwise have to be at work. So I think we'll probably stick with that arrangement, although I'm not certain. But, you know, so if you're a continuing day student and don't want to be saddled with, you know, planning and then executing lots of things for evening students after their classes are over, I don't think that's something that would be a concern.
I have two questions. The first one is do you stay in the same section, I guess, for both years? And the other question is, what do you think is the most important criteria for the application?
To answer your first question, no, I don't think that it would either be necessary or, you know, even really desirable to stick with the same section. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily make any difference because all the professors will change. So being in one section 1 year, and even, you know, if you were the Section 1 Dean's Fellow during your first year and the Section 1 Dean's Fellow during your second year, chances are you would work with all different professors anyway. But I don't see any reason why that wouldn't change just based on people's preferences and who's going to be in what sections before the school year starts.
And some people like following certain professors that are good to work with.
Yeah, that's true too.
Some professors are very into the integrated curriculum program, are very supportive, so those are always the most competitive to get work with.
And I mean, from the Section 5 perspective, you know, chances are if you're the evening dean's fellow, you're always going to work with Professor Popper in the fall because he'll be teaching evening torts. I think he always does, although I'm not certain. And then, you know, who the contracts professor will rotate, but I don't think it makes any difference whether you stay with the same section from 1 year to the next. And in terms of things to highlight in your application, I mean, I think the most important part of this job is just being enthusiastic about doing it. You know, you've got to be committed to coming to the programs, you know, doing the panels, participating in the commons to the extent that you're available to do that. You know, be engaged with students. I mean, it's difficult sometimes to rely on 1L students to contact us with their problems. Some people are shy about doing it. Some people forget that we're around. So it's, you know, that you really need to be proactive about interacting with the students in your section and making sure that problems are coming to light where they exist and then being dealt with as they come up. So I think that's really important. You know, I don't recall anything else in particular that I tried to highlight on my application, you know, other than, you know, I was just really excited about having the opportunity to help students who are in my same position, having the benefit of the knowledge that I gained during the first year and then being able to, you know, sort of work with that and work with them during this year and then the next year.
I remember, Professor Popper asked me if I had any crisis counseling experience.
Mm-hmm.
So he might ask that all in your application, but if you've had extensive counseling experience, that would obviously be a good thing also to put, like being an RA, an orientation counselor, or anything like that. And then, I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, just overall package, obviously it's beneficial if you've had good grades because you'll be giving academic advice, but it's not mandatory. If you can show how you've improved over from the first semester, what you've learned, how you've taken advantage of counseling resources or the integrated curriculum program here, you know, Professor Popper obviously likes that. We're going to be also having students on the panel to interview too. So, you know, they like to see people who are ready to take over their spots in terms of, you know, she's very excited about the program, very into programming and working with both professors and students and having that communication ability.
And really, it could be, you know, it doesn't necessarily even need to be something so specific as crisis counseling.
Yeah.
But any, you know, problem-solving experience that you've had, you know, experiences where you've had to deal with either interpersonal conflicts or conflicts between, you know, students and
other managers or professors or things like that, a lot of the questions we will get relate to the relationships between students and their professors, or, you know, things that people think are going wrong in rhetoric, or you know, things like that. So those types of things are helpful. And then also, I think a great thing to include in your application is that if you recall any of the integrated curriculum programming that you've experienced during the year, you might, you know, describe a little bit about why you thought that was valuable, if you thought it was valuable, how it might have been improved, things like that. You know, other sorts of programming that you might think would be of value or of interest to incoming 1L students next year. I mean, any of those sorts of things would be great things to talk about. And like Christina said, you know, we'll look at all of that stuff in the cover letters, and then also, you know, we'll probably talk more specifically, particularly with people who do have ideas already, during the interview process. Yeah.
How many people are you hiring, and how does one go about applying for the position?
I think there probably will be 4 new Dean's Fellows for next year.
We're graduating, so yeah. Since it's a 2-year
right.
commitment.
Right, and there are, I believe that there are 8 of us, is that correct? So the 4 sections each have 2 Dean's Fellows. I think one of the Dean's Fellows currently helps with 2 sections, and then I'm the only person who works with Section 5, so we'll replace the graduating Dean's Fellows with 4 new ones and probably stay on that same arrangement. So someone who's already been in the program for a year will sort of split their time between 2 sections, and then each of the remaining sections will have 2 people, and the evening section still will have me. Application-wise, check the docket announcement last week again. I believe it was cover letter, resume, and...
Transcript,
right.
March 19th, which is the Wednesday after spring break, so right. After the short write-on is due, then you can work on your cover letter.
Yeah, and that can be obviously just an unofficial transcript from the registrar. It doesn't need to be signed and stamped.
And that's like that. To Frankie's office. Frankie is Professor Popper's administrative assistant. Was there a second part of that question?
I think that was both parts.
And that was my question.
So. Okay. And you can always turn it in earlier, too, if you want to get it out of the way before spring break, then that's fine too.
Yeah, and we'll. I think our schedule is to look at them. Are they due before the March 19th? Is after break?
Yeah.
After break. So we'll look at them that week, and then we'll start to schedule interviews with people during the following week, and then you know the selections should come pretty soon after that. And you know, because neither Christina nor I were involved in the selection process last year, we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. But I assume that we'll, you know, all of the Dean's Fellows will read all of the applications. Professor Popper will read all of the applications. We'll do the interviews, talk about the applicants, and then make our selections, and then notify people probably by email.
In terms of doing the job and preparing for it. If you're selected, do you need to be in Washington, D.C. over the summer?
Nope.
No.
No. There, we had a little bit of activity right at the beginning of orientation. But, you know, so if you're going to be away from D.C. and can get back, you know, sort of during orientation time, I would sort of hope that we could get together as a group before orientation to talk about what's going to go on that week and maybe start to do a little bit of preliminary planning for the semester. But our first real sort of planning and scheduling meetings don't take place until after school starts. So that's not a problem, you know. And there's nothing that we can't do over email. So even if you're not in town and have access to email or would be available for, you know, like a telephone call or something like that, that'd be fine.
Oh, and just to clarify, since the job is 15 hours a week, that means you can't be a legal rhetoric Dean's Fellow unless you switch to the part-time program, because. You can't work over 20 hours a week in paid positions, you know, with the school, unless you switch to the part-time program. So,
and it's really, you know, I mean, I your experience might be different, but I think there might have been 2 or 3 weeks so far where I've actually gotten to 15 hours.
Which has happened to be when we recorded our time.
Yeah, you end up getting paid the same amount regardless. I mean,
yeah.
It's nice to devote as much time as possible to the program, you know. But it's certainly not, you know, 15 hours every week, and then it's going to be flowing over into other activities or impinging on your schoolwork or anything. It's really very manageable.
Yeah, especially during the spring where we try to you know, reduce the level of programming, and then you can always, you know, plan according to your own schedule. So
yeah, fall is busy, but spring so far has been pretty good.
What you just said with being able to schedule in other activities. So do you think it'd be really difficult to have like externship, the Dean's Fellow position, and then student activities and possibly journal, like, or clinic the third year, and then some of the responsibilities?
I'm not going to say it would be easy, but it's definitely possible. I do journal, I work, I'm taking three classes, I have this, I'm a Dean's Fellow for another, you know, 5-hour-a-week program, but also, I should say, that's not very busy in the spring. So yeah, I've got tons of stuff going on, and it all works together. I mean, you'll find a way. I mean, if you're really interested and think that it would be a good position for you, you know, definitely don't let the fact that you would be busy discourage you from applying, certainly.
Yeah, and this is just general advice that we've been giving a lot in terms of, because a lot of people have been asking us questions about how it all fits together, all your activities. You always want to look at not just how much time it is, but like when the time is, like when your time commitments for certain activities are the greatest. And since this position is so flexible and usually works with everything else, and so it's easy to fit in around other things, whereas, you know, like moot court, you know you're going to be busy during certain times of year, or journal, you know you'll be busy while you're writing your comment. So those are things that you have to piece together more. You have to look at it more thoroughly, but this is, I wouldn't worry about it as much. I mean, I externship, I'm taking 4 classes in journal in this position. I still feel like I have free time, so I'll know.
I think you said you're
Hours? Right. My other Dean's Fellow position is with the legal analysis program, and I'm only paid for 5 hours a week for that job, so I get to 20, but that's all.
I mean, and I guess if you really want to be the legal rhetoric Dean's Fellow, I mean, if anyone has that burning desire, Professor Prouper would probably reduce your hours that you're getting paid with the Dean's Fellow. He's very flexible and accommodating to what students need. Also, if you've received the Gile Musi Fellowship, and that says 20 hours as a Dean's Fellow. I worked with Professor Popper to up my hours to 20 hours a week so I could get that full scholarship. So that's another possibility too.
Yeah, and that's it's interesting that you bring that up. I have been meaning to start to talk to people about that. When that fellowship is announced in the docket, if you're, you know, definitely going to stay at WCL, which presumably all of you will because you're sitting here right now, definitely apply for it.
I think the
deadline was Friday, last Friday. Well, I hope you applied for it. I hadn't noticed that in the docket yet, but that's a great opportunity. And it does, that also fits very nicely with a job like this. So.
And if any of you are super organized, like really like putting together logistics, there's also a special Dean's Fellow position called the Administrative, is it the Administrative Dean's Fellow?
Well,
and
think,
then there's
yeah.
an Assistant Administrative Dean's Fellow. We pick it amongst ourselves during the school year, but I'm the assistant this year, and Eric Simonek's the Administrative Dean's Fellow. So we, in addition to our own programming, we do more logistics. So if you like logistics, I would love a great assistant next year.
Yeah, and there's also, there's one other specialized position, which is the Senior Academic Dean's Fellow, who's usually one of the second year Dean's Fellows in the program. And that person would be sort of the point person responsible for developing the programming for something like our March 21st conference. That's currently Sarah Brown, so she's been, you know, doing a lot of work and research with Professor Popper to put that together. So, you know, assuming that we do the same type of program next year, which I don't know whether we will or not, that likely would be one of the primary responsibilities. And that, I think, keeps Sarah pretty busy, but she seems to like it, so.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything else specific. Are there any more questions?
So when you choose topics for commons, how's the process usually? Like, do you start by, like, talking to professors to see, talk about it a little bit, because I'm curious.
Yeah, most of the Dean's Fellows will meet either on, like, a weekly or bi-weekly basis with their section faculty for their section. And, you know, commons topics can come from anywhere. It can be something that you're interested in personally that you think other people might enjoy. It can be something in the news. You know, I think we did, there were, you know, all sorts of different commons last semester, but we, you know, talked a lot in our meetings about how we might fold in, you know, like the China toy recall issues into, you know, tort and contract and civil procedure and stuff like that. So it's really, you know, that's one of the big areas of flexibility in this job, is that if there's something that you're interested in, you know, you can just bring it up with the faculty. If they think it's a good idea, which, you know, 9 times out of 10 they will, they'll just sort of, you know, start to help you put it together. They might give you a little bit of direction for some background research, and then, you know, you're sort of off and going with your comments.
Yeah, and it oftentimes depends on which faculty you're working with. Yeah. Some have very set ideas of what commons that they want to do, or what commons they've done in the past that they'd like to repeat, because they have a whole, like, PowerPoint presentation like Professor May has on legal history that he likes to do every year. So, you know, you kind of let the professors go with it. But sometimes your job is also to steer these professors and to be like, well, maybe the students would be more interested in this. And so, I mean, that's a big thing, that if you can show that you can communicate with these professors who've been here for a really long time and, like, might be slightly out of touch with an event that students would want to go to, you know, how to incorporate their ideas with yours. And then usually at the beginning of the semester, you map it all out, the whole, like, semester with these professors. You know, we try to usually get, like, a subset of, like, legal history or jurisdiction one in, but then also, like, a more current event-ish one. So that's how we usually balance it. And then some people meet weekly with their professors. I actually did almost all of mine extensively over email, because as much as I don't want to meet as much, professors want to meet even less. So most of them prefer to do things on email too, but sometimes you have to nag your professors to get things going. So that's also your job, is to remind them, like, hey, you have a commons next week on course selection, are you ready? So yeah, mm-hmm. Just you have to really be on top of your stuff, because you're responsible not only for your own planning, but professors and then an entire section. So
it's a lot. Who are the good professors to work with?
Scott has a list of no.
Well, I had for Section 5 last semester, I had Professor Popper, who's obviously really easy to work with in this context because he runs the program, and Professor Verona, who was super excited about everything. So last semester was really easy. And then this semester, I have Professor Robbins and Professor Wormiel, and they're not really interested in doing integrated curriculum activities at all. So, you know, I email with them periodically. I tried to convince them to do a team teaching session on the federalization of criminal law that they weren't really interested in doing, so we're not doing that. And then we're going to have a course selection panel that I think they're going to run instead of me, which is fine, because they think that as a second-year student, I don't have enough experience selecting courses, so no problem. And then, you know, so really my only event with Section 5 this year is our end of the semester party. So this semester is actually
been a fun to plan.
Yeah, those are a good time. Has been pretty easy. But, you know, I mean, it seems like 95% of the professors that teach first-year courses are excited about...
That's why they choose it.
Yeah, about changing, you know, the first-year curriculum to, you know, to not be so segmented and to start to get people thinking about legal problems as wholes and, you know, integrating their, you know, client interactions with things like that, so that people realize that, you know, when you start to practice law, somebody's not going to come to you with a tort problem, you know, or a contract problem in most cases. They're going to come to you with a problem, and you need to be able to evaluate all of the issues and solve it for them. So, yeah, I think, you know, most of them are really pretty great.
So there really isn't a problem with, like, unreceptive, like...
Well, no, that's not necessarily true either. There are some professors who, you know, like Christina said, are very set in their ways and really, you know, either don't understand or aren't willing to recognize the benefits that we think this type of program brings to the first year.
Which is also another thing that you should really be prepared, that when you come into a faculty meeting, not everyone wants you to be there. So
yes, right. That's true too. But still, like I said, very rare. The nice thing is,
if we keep the integrated curriculum program going and strong, these professors eventually will retire, and we'll be able to work with all new, fresh-faced professors who had these sorts of integrated experiences at their own law schools, hopefully, and then it'll just get better. So.
Yeah, and each section has one who's called the academic coordinator amongst the professors who steps up amongst the professors and says, I'll be, like, the head of the professors. So they're usually the ones who are more excited. Professor Bond's always very enthusiastic. Professor Grossman loves the integrated curriculum program. So those are usually the people who will, like, be the ones who try to rally their colleagues, and, you know, there's always, you know, 3 to 4 professors. So there might be one outlier, but the majority of professors are, you know, always very enthusiastic.
Yeah, we generally get our way, I think, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty good.
I was just curious because this semester I know there's one professor in our section that just refuses to participate. He doesn't come to any of the commons. Like all the other professors do it, and they're there.
This semester or last semester?
This semester.
So your property professor?
Yep.
Okay.
he's one of them.
So I was just curious as to how frequently that happened, because I didn't know if that was like common or not. I didn't even realize that he was intentionally not showing up until it happened 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
So yeah.
There aren't many, you know, and it's really a shame because if you were able to get, you know, to get that perspective on things as well, it's, you know, the programs would only be more valuable.
We're always happy to answer individual questions via email anytime, or you can come to our office hours and, yeah.
Good. So, I hope you do ask questions if you continue to have them, and submit your applications, and we'll see what happens.
Thanks.
Thank you.